to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 18. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. They're more about building a house and going on what they call mission trip, but really what they are is they're going out on a mission field with no word, just work, and feeling good about themselves. But there's no witness, because witness means you have to, you have to behave yourself. Think about that. Part of what makes sanctification work is that you want to bring somebody to Christ and be a good example of what that looks like. Just like when you have children, you clean up your language a little bit just because the children are there. So you have a baby in the Lord. Are you there Wednesday? Are you there? And when they show up, well, I was expecting them to be here. I've had that happen many times. Somebody brought somebody to church, that person came to the Lord, and then it's like, oh, okay, I see how it is. That's basically what's felt, because they don't come back. Because their friend wasn't there. The enthusiasm wasn't there. Will I find the faith? What was the faith? Go back in the book of Acts, man. Those people were preaching when they were told to stand down, you know? They were talking when they were told not to. Let's move on. Verse 9 says, he said unto a certain who trusted in themselves and despised others, two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. Now, if you remember, way back in chapter 15, it says they despised the publicans and the sinners who were coming to lean in and hear Jesus. A lot has been said about those guys up to this point. Jesus has picked up that thread. And now he's dealing with that publican and Pharisee thing again. He said, the Pharisee said, God, I thank you, I'm not like these people. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this publican over here. Man, how do you even tolerate him, Lord? Tusk, tusk. What? What? Really? Really? In church even, you know, he's in the temple. The Bible says, when I fast twice in a week and I tithe all that I possess, I go to church. I'm a good church person. He says, and the publican standing afar off, but not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Do you realize that that's where we pretty much get our bowed head thing? Many times people say, why do you bow your head? And then you got all these people who have got their hands up and their eyes up. That's fine, if you're right with God. If you're not, you're just being a little insolent. Okay? If your account's not current, maybe your head down might be a good thing. Lord, I'm sorry. Here I am again. That's good. Because you do get your foot in a trap routinely. If you're like me, I mean, I just have to constantly say, Lord, I need to rein myself in. I've been bumped. You say, well, you're the pastor. Yeah, well, Paul got nose to nose with Barnabas. They broke company. So sharp was the contention between them. Life happens. I can't even imagine him being a tent maker. Somebody trying to rip him off. No, 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 no. Hey, you didn't pay for that. He had to support himself. Justice is justice. I'm saying to you that real people have real issues. Paul said, I am a wretch, and he was the best among us in many ways. And we think we've got it going on. And so in our day, it's all face to the heavens as if we've got it going on. If we had it going on, we'd have more souls in our train, in our wake. How many souls do we have in our wake? That's a good barometer. Well, I can name one person that came to Jesus because of me. That's good. Now what? Well, that happened how long ago? When? What? Listen. We're supposed to have the Spirit of God all over us, enough to where when we go out, maybe, just maybe, somebody will see a difference in us. And sometimes people are in our wake. We don't even know we're there because, you know, we were a witness and our testimony made an impact and somebody else came along, one planted, one watered, and God gave the increase. But I'm saying to you that we need to be people who are mindful of this. In this is your Father glorified, in that you go out and bear fruit. And if you bear fruit, He's going to prune you, and that's going to hurt. Because He's going to make you a little more sanctified, a little more capable. Do you remember what happened in the Exodus? Well, they had to work without any straw. That was God's gym class. You guys need to get your muscles going. You need to get ready, because you're going to be pulling a bunch of carts. You're going to have all the spoils of the Egyptians. Okay? You're going to. So I need to get you ready. So He's going to prune you, and you're going to say, well, that worked out well. That person got saved, and look at my life upside down. Yeah, just embrace it, man. God's strengthening you, just like He did your children sometime, making them do a little something out of their wheelhouse so that they would be a little stronger. You know, when those coaches take the football players, they're hitting a piece of metal with a little pad on it as hard as they can that is not going to move unless they hit it hard enough. And there's very few people on the field that are going to have to hit as hard as they have to hit that thing to move it. That's just the whole point. And you and I have to realize God is a good God. He knows what's coming ahead. So if He brings something a little rough in our lives, we need to drill into that and say, okay, God, I'm going to work out on this apparatus, whatever it is. I say to you, as He's talking about these people, the one wouldn't so much as lift his eyes up because he understood what? God be merciful to me, the sinner. Again, there is an article here. It's the sinner. He only saw himself. The problem we have is we compare ourselves among ourselves and we are not wise, Paul says in Corinthians. We need to keep comparing ourselves with Jesus. The Bible says that we see it now as through a glass darkly. And we behold His image and are changed into that image, even as by one Spirit. See that? What are you supposed to be looking at? Neighbor? No. Jesus. If you look at Jesus, what did He do? He glorified His Father. He saw what the Father was doing and He joined Him in it. So I say to you, this is another one of those things. You know, you got two parables. One to people who are self-sufficient, self-satisfied. And then you've got the woman who couldn't really get justice, but she wouldn't be dissuaded. She kept coming. And that's what we need to do. We need to recognize there's blood involved here. People you love and care about, your nephews, your nieces, your friends, your neighbors, your family. Some have no children at all, but other children respond to them just like, man, it's her. You know, and they're like, oh. And there's a love there because they're like their own mother. The Bible says, be as to a younger man as a mother and be as to older women as if they were your mom. And those kind of relationships. And so it says next, moving on, they brought him infants, and the disciples forbid them. And they were kind of rebuking everybody for doing this. And in verse 16, he says, forbid them not. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, it will in no way enter in. He's not going to enter in. We've got to be humble. We've got to be willing to let Him tell us what it looks like. And the Bible is replete with every principle you need. The Bible says all things in the Scriptures are given for our reproof, rebuke, and instruction in righteousness and correction. We have it all there. I say to you that this is what He's saying. You've got to let Him tell you what's right and wrong. How does Christianity look? Does it look like a rock concert? I don't think so. Biblically, that was not what it was like, but that's what we've got in modern Christianity today. You're okay, I'm okay. Let's just turn the music up and we won't have to talk or think. You see, people aren't problematic with this social distancing because they've been social distancing for years. They just turn the music up, put the earbuds in. They just sit at work and don't talk to anybody. They're not witnessing. They're not trying to win. They're not bringing somebody in for dinner to tell them about Jesus, ultimately, not the first time. But, you know, building relationships. They're not. I knew a guy who got saved and we led him to Christ. We had a Bible study before we ever started a church. We had a Bible study. They came to our Bible study and at length, the guy got saved. He went to work, and he's like laughing at some Christian teaching. The guy said, what are you listening to? He says, oh, I'm listening to this preacher. He just said to us, and so he says, oh, you're a Christian? He says, I am too. He had worked with him for 5 years and never had told him he was a Christian. That's not uncommon. So I say to you, this is what it looks like. He says, this is what makes up the kingdom of God. It's childlike faith. You're not going to tell God how it is. You're going to ask God how it is. How is it, God? What's it look like? Well, let me take you on a walk. We'll go through dusty areas where swords are clanging, man. We're going to see people fighting. We're going to see God routing the enemy at the last minute. We're going to see fiery furnaces. We're going to see God showing up. We're going to see kings deposed. We're going to be seeing little kids anointed like Samuel and becoming great prophets. We're going to see it all. And we're going to see prophets being sawn in half. We're going to see people worshiping idols when the true God's right there watching them. And we're going to see a Savior come and give His life. Never would man have ever conjured a God who would die for them. Would have never entered into the mind of humans that God would die for them. That's what Jesus did. The Bible says, after He told us what the disposition of a believer would have to look like if it was going to be a good take in their lives. It says, a certain ruler asked Him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that's God. Now, it's very important for us to put this in its proper context. You've got a woman saying, I need avenging, because we're going to be persecuted big time. And she's willing to come and come and come and come, right? Kept coming back. Humiliation. You in line again? How you doing, Mavis? How you doing? How you doing? You here again? Yep, I'm here again. I need avenging. You keep coming back. I'm telling you, that's the context. He's telling us about childlike faith. He's telling us about one person who's self-satisfied. And then this rich guy comes up and he says, what must I do? I want you to know, going in, it may look like this man didn't get saved. It's in three of the synoptic gospels, this same situation. But I believe this guy probably got saved at length because he comes in the context in which he comes. And Jesus punctuates it by saying, how hard is it for a rich man to enter? Nevertheless, with God, it is possible. Watch what happens. He calls him good, and Jesus right away telegraphs to him, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Do you get that I'm God? Do you get that I am God? Is that what you're saying? Because that would be a proper thing. But the man just moves on into his narrative, because he's just like all of us, kind of limping, trying to see through the fog. He says, why do you call me good? None is good but God. He didn't get the right reaction right there, so he kept talking. The Lord says, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, kill, steal, or bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now understand something about that. He's saying, all these have I kept from my youth up. The word kept here is not the typical word for keeping the law. The Bible says that he that loves God keeps his commandments, right? That's 1 John. It's not that word. That word is tereo. It means to guard them. In other words, when you and I are truly walking with Jesus, we're not licentious. We understand what the law's purpose was. The Bible says that law is good if it's used lawfully. It's for the ungodly, the perverse, and all those things. It's for them, not against them. It's for them. It's to help them realize someone somewhere of huge authority, called God, said these things are wrong. And when you see that it's wrong, you can begin to say, oh, it's wrong, and begin to adjust. Many of us have been somewhere where we've been doing something and we thought we were doing the right thing, and in the end analysis, like, man, I did something wrong. What's going on here? Whether it's build some kind of a table or whatever that is. I made brownies. I did. I actually was in the kitchen making brownies once, and it said to add water and oil, and I thought I had a choice. What do you suppose I chose? I went for the oil. But I was supposed to add water too. By the time I got done with those brownies, they were really hard and flat. I don't know what the deal with the water was, but it evidently was the secret sauce, because my brownies turned out terrible. But I was proud of myself until I broke a tooth, had to go to the dentist, and had surgery. No, it wasn't that bad. But it was not good. It was not good. I think I ate them, though. I'm just saying. There still was brownie thing. There was a smattering of something. But my point is that we all have been there. And so it's for the person who's perverse. It's for the person who's corrupt. It's for the person who's nefarious in their dealings. You remember later in Ephesians where it says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather labor with his hands, working, that he might be able to earn money so he can give to them who have need. He says, we can fix this. We can fix this. And that's what he would have them know. He's for them. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So just get the truth. This guy had a different word. It's not keeping the law like we keep the law in the crosshairs of our life, and we try to do our best to uphold it and not do anything to bring disrepute to our Father. Because our Father has a way. Remember years ago, they used to say, remember, you're at Smith. Remember, you're whatever you are. Remember, you're going out there representing the family. Well, as believers, we're representing God. So we keep the law. We don't keep it to measure up. He says this, he says, all these I have kept from my youth up. The word here is philosso, not tereo, it's philosso. It literally means to fearfully guard it. He was walking in fear all the time. Now, that's a good sign, because a person who cares enough to try to behave in regard to the law ultimately will be brought to faith.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.